You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews and chapter 4. And we are seeking to go, taking Sunday as our starting point, or perhaps before that, taking Sunday as our starting point for the next couple of times, to try to give that which would help you the most, I think, in going forward. So we're going to go subject 1, 2, 3, 4, build. We're going to build it. And God help us. So now, but for tonight, since it's New Year's Day, and thus, if we can, remember the book of Hebrews is about maturing. It's about handling in a day of apostasy when everything is not going good. You need to know when everything isn't good, God is still good. Christ is the answer to whatever you have. And the book of Hebrews hits one thing after another to let you know that when you're all done wrestling with all the things in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, is sufficient. Totally sufficient. So now, but picking off here, if we can, in Hebrews chapter 4, and if I may, in verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And so there's a wonderful, wonderful cessation from all our works in the light of God's wonderful working. So that it isn't our working to get anything. It's God's work. And then God has finished his work and he's resting. There's nothing to do in the sense, in one real sense, because it's all, it has to be worked out. But it's all finished. And that's what, when you get come to know the Lord as your Savior, God gives you that wonderful, wonderful relationship that you cease from your own works. Go down to verse 10. He that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. So when I get come to know the Lord as my Savior, God has done something wonderful. So instead of my having to produce a life that I am incapable of doing, God's life, the only life that fits, that's right, is God's. And I can't do that. But God has made it so that I don't have to produce that. He has made it so I can have a unique relationship to his Son. And his Son has accomplished everything forever that God will ever want. And I can rest in that and proceed forward. And would you please note in verse 1, let us therefore fear, have a healthy, holy, happy reverence. Fear. Fear that changes and affects our character and our conduct. Let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. And God has made that promise. God has given it. Come unto me, all ye that laden, and I'll give you rest in all kinds of places. So it isn't a question. We don't have God's commitment to it. It's whether we're going to commit to that rest. And as we need to have a healthy fear in order to proceed, in order to go forward. And if you don't have that fear, you aren't going to go anywhere in 2014. You're just going to have the same old thing. Another Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, Monday, and you're going to go through the same old thing in the same old way, all the way to another year, perhaps. That's all you're going to do. That doesn't mean, and we need to see that. God didn't give us that. God gave us a wonderful, wonderful way to live his life, enjoying his works, what he has done to make that life possible. And he has done all of that in his person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to have a healthy reverence. Let us fear. So as we go forward, we need to have that reverence. Secondly, would you please note in verse 11, let us labor, therefore, remember verse 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear. Now in verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so here, looking at it, God, we're going to labor to make haste, to give diligence, to enter into that rest. And we need to do so. We can't just linger and think about it, and next week I'll think about it, or when I'm not so busy, I'll think about it. No, I need to think about it right now. I need to have a healthy respect for God that is so respectful that I have to honor what he has provided for you right now. Not next week. It's yours right now. Not next month. Now, we either are going to let go to it, or we're going to let it go. And most people will let it go, unfortunately. And they aren't going to do that labor, that diligent haste to exercise that rest. Would you go with me, please, now, in the light of that, to verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast. Let us be holding fast our profession. And the word profession is the word confession. And the word confession is what? To say the same thing as another person. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. What are we saying? We're agreeing. God said that's wrong, and all we're doing is agreeing. We agree, God. We aren't disagreeing and being at odds with you. We agree with you. We agree with you, God. We agree. You're right, and we're wrong. And that's what confession. So here in verse 14, let us hold fast our profession, our confession, that which we are in agreement. Are you agreeing with God about what? About who? Over to chapter 3, if you would, in verse 1. We're looking now to answer that question. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. We agreed. We said he's the one, Christ Jesus. We confessed the Lord Jesus Christ is the right one. God said he's the right one. The Spirit of God says he's the right one, and he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ is the right one. He did the right thing on the cross. Everything is right. And we agree. We agree. We agree. Let us hold fast that. Again, just to see it, over to chapter 10. Chapter 10. And if I can, you'll see it in verse 10:23. Let us hold fast our what? Let us hold fast the profession, confession, of our faith, that we are in full agreement with that which is to be believed, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So we're looking to God, looking to Christ, looking to his word, and we're going to hold fast, we're going to fear God, we're going to hustle and get into that place that God wants us to rest in who he is. Stop resting in who you are. You'll see in a moment, perhaps. You're resting in who he is. And you profess. Your confession is that you are resting in who he is. when you take the Lord's table. I am saying, I am agreeing, I'm remembering Him. He's the one that we are in agreement with. He's the one, God. God says, who are you counting on? I'm counting on you, God, in Christ Jesus. I'm counting on Him. And therefore, my profession, confession, I'm in agreement. Hold that. Don't let it go. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to verse 60, chapter 4. Chapter 4. And in verse 16. And you'll pick it up, if I may. Let us therefore, again, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come, and remember the word bold, to be fearless, to be coming to God without fear. Boldly coming to God, boldly unto the throne of grace. So we aren't hesitant, and we can't sit there and say, well, if you feel guilty in your heart, you haven't been doing right, you haven't been going right, haven't been thinking right, and so you're sort of hesitant and all that. And that's what sin does to us. That's what unbelief does to us. It stops and cripples our relationship. That relationship is already established. The minute you received Christ as your Savior, God established that. And I don't need to fool with it. I don't need to have my left hand talk to my right hand to cooperate. I don't need to have a debate, well, because the left hand and the right hand, what they aren't, did something wrong, or something, using your imagination. I don't need to have them. The left hand belongs to the head, and the right hand belongs to the head. And they answer to the head, directly. And they can never say, and even the right hand that has a problem needs to count on the head. The left hand needs to count in the head in order to help the right hand. The believers need to be trusting God to help the believers that aren't trusting God. So here in verse 16, we're going to come to the throne of grace. We're going to come there boldly. No timidness, no. The quicker you, we shared it 100 times, the quicker you get your act right with God, the better. Don't sit there and moan and sit there and have a big, deep depression, disappointment, discouragement, and all those words that come in, and they come in and they cripple us, and we're sitting there and fooling with them. And pretty soon we haven't done anything. All we did is have a good pity party to ourselves. And I have no right to do that before God. That's sin when I do that. It's unbelief that makes me do it. Why didn't I come to God? I didn't believe. Why didn't you come to God? You didn't believe. If you were believing, you would have done it. Either you don't understand, or whatever. You should understand. And come. That's what your relationship is. My mother and father have passed on, but if my father was alive, and I have no more father and mother because they're gone, and I have no more relationship to them either. No more. No, it's only earthly. Once that ends, it's all over. So I'm trying to encourage you parents, I think. So what are we looking for? Well, we go, and I forgot what I was going to say. I was thinking about my parents. Anyway, in the process, you're looking to God to come there, and I don't have a problem, if they were alive, that I'm a son. I may be a lousy son. I may goof up. I may do 100 things wrong. But I'm a son. And I may hang my head, but I'm a son. Like we said on Sunday, you'll remember it, some of you. Remember the prodigal son went to the father, and he said, give me my inheritance that I can go out. I want to be in the world. Everyone's having fun out there and doing whatever, and I want to be able to go out and have my part in what's going on. And he did. And that son did not appreciate being a son. Remember? And he woke up. He woke up. He woke up. The world isn't, and we shared it, I'll say it again, I won't waste my time in it either. The world isn't going to love you. The world isn't going to care 2 cents about you. You're a number. You'll fit in. You may fit into your little group for the moment, but be of good cheer, it's going to disappear. So you don't want to trust that. Have it, but don't hang on to it too tightly. Wow. No, God, we got to look to you. Got to look to you. And I'm a son, and the prodigal son saw he ate the pig's food. Pigs, what pigs eat. And he ended up going and coming back to his father as a servant. He said, I'm a son. What am I doing out here going through all of this when I don't have to? I'm a son. My servants, my father's house, my slave, the slaves in my father's house are better off than I am. They eat 3 squares a day. And he went. Now the other son, remember the other son, just for the sake of this, we're doing it, the other son got all mad because that son was treated so royally by the father when he returned and said, I am lost. He was lost and now he's found. He said, I'll be a servant in your house. And the father was so delighted to have his son back. Wow, functional. But the other son got angry. He wouldn't even go in the house where the celebration was going on. Wow. So what happened? Well, then the son went and he said, I want to, you know all that. The son said, I want to be able to have a party just like he has. I want to enjoy a party on my terms with my friends like he does. And that son wasn't enjoying his sonship. He didn't enjoy it at all. And we shared together. Here we are sitting here, and some of us are believers, I hope. Believers. And we don't function as a son. That's the whole point. We don't do it. We don't do it. It's a son. What a privilege. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us hold fast our confession. God, there's no one like you, and you are my Savior and my Father. That's a wonderful thing. Both sons missed out on being sons. Now, Hebrews, you had a great high priest so that you can be a son in the fullest sense, to come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and help. Mercy and find grace to help in time of need, in the nick of time. God is right there. Over to chapter 4, verse 16. You got to go upward. Got to go to God, boldly to the throne of grace. Got to go up. And if you don't go up vertical, as it were, you can't go horizontal. You won't go horizontal rightly unless you go vertical, looking to God. Over to chapter 6 in Hebrews. Chapter 6 in verse 1. 6 and 1. Therefore, leaving the principles, the ABCs, 1, 2, 3, 4, learning how to count, learning how to read letters, learning how to make the cat chase the rat, learning how to put words together. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, let us go on to unto perfection, maturity, growing up, advancing to grow, to develop. Not laying again the foundation. You don't want to keep laying the foundation. You want to put something on it. You already said you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then build on it. Don't keep saying for 10 more years, oh yeah, I was saved 10 years ago. Hurrah. What kind of thing is that? And remember, we do it. We should do it. You should do it. The only thing we want to know is, we don't want to know, well, were you saved 10 years ago? And were you falling off a cliff? going down and you hit the 99th floor, one more floor and you hit the cement, and you decided it was time to get saved. Wow, that's exciting. I fell out of the plane. The plane was up there, and someone pulled the exit, the door, to test the door, you know. Can you lift the door 50 pounds? And tested the door, and out they went, and they said, oh, this is not the way to do it. And they get saved. That's all well and good. I want to know if you're saved right now. I want to know if you have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ right now. And I want to know why that is. What is the basis for your relationship? Why can you even say that in your heart? Verify to me why you were saved. I want to know now. I don't care about what you did 20 years ago or 10 minutes ago. I want to know if you're saved now. And so, going on from the foundation, chapter 6, verse 1, not having again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, we want to go forwards, moving forwards. And where are we going to go? Well, we're going to head someplace wonderful. Why are we going forward? Why are we going to another year, another heartache? The calendar, it takes us. We said the calendar takes us. Can't stop the calendar. You can't stop the clock. You're going, like it or not. And as the world spins around and rotates over, 1,100 miles an hour, spinning. And then it's circling now. We're up there. We just had the shortest day of the year. We're over here on that cycle, you know, the orbit over here, where the darkest day of the year, shortest day, and we're circling. And that's traveling, you know, at what? I think it's 68,000 something miles, 68,600 or something miles per minute. That's fast, isn't it? You're going just like that, spinning. Wow. That's a wonderful thing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And in the process of that, over God, we're traveling. God, you have a plan. Absolutely. Over, if you would, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And you will notice, please, where we're going. In a new year. You got a new year. A new day. New. And here you are, and your body's in transition, which is wonderful. You're all aging. True? Like young people, you'll never age. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And you're all aging. You're all aging. And you're all going down the card and the calendar, and the clock watches you. It doesn't care. You're just getting older and older and older. Maybe not wiser, but older. Older. Now, but I want to know where I'm headed. I don't mind aging. You have to age. We just said remember on Sunday we said, you don't go and you have to do what? You don't accept the conditions you owe what to them? Adjust. You don't accept conditions. Some you do that are good. But when a condition isn't good, you can't change the gas price. That's a condition. But you can adjust and pay it. But you don't agree with it. You aren't caught up in it. You aren't surrendered to it. You surrender to your problems physically. And when you surrender to them, that's not the thing to do. You adjust to your physical problems. You can't hear anymore. You can't see anymore. You can't walk anymore. You can't breathe anymore. Adjust. Adjust. Don't lock yourself in. You'll never get anywhere. Because then you surrender to the new thing. You become a slave to it. Don't even know it. Now, wow. God, do we need help? Revelation 21. And he gives it to us. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more. God, where am I headed? This old world, heaven, all the stars and billions of galaxies, all are going to go. All are going to go. Everything's going. So it isn't just us that are going. The whole system's going. Wow. And God, where are we headed? Well, that's going to disappear. But you aren't. You aren't going to disappear. You aren't going to do that. No, not at all. The new heaven and a new earth, but not you. Because when you came to know Christ as your Savior, what did God do for you? He made you, same words, 2 Corinthians, 5, all kinds, 5:17. Therefore, if any person, man, woman, boy, a girl, be where? In Christ. They're what? New creature, there's your word. What happens to the old things? Gone. And behold, everything has become what? New. When did that happen? When you got saved. So you live an old life that God never meant you to live. He gave you a new one. How do you live the new one? Relating to Him. That's what you do. You have another person to monitor, to help you, to encourage, to give you the life that you need. And how to do it. Verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem. Coming down, let's see what the Arabs are going to do with that one. I'm just kidding. They're not going to do anything. What are you going to do with it? You Arabs aren't even going to be around to do that. So, and if you are, you're going to have to be saved, Arabs. That's what, you can't be a Muslim. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, preparing as a bride adorned for her husband. I might as well read the rest. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. A unique personal relationship to God. That's what it's all about right now. And that's what it's going to be then. And everything is going to have new conditions, nothing like the old. You aren't even going to remember anything of the old at all. Verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. They're all gone. They're all plain gone. No more, no more at all. Well, that's where I'm headed. I'm a new creature. I'm going to have a fear of God, a healthy respect for what He's done and what He's going to do. And I'm hanging on to that and running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday down the corridor. And I'm going to have a healthy confession, profession. I have no qualms about going and honoring the person that I am able to move down the corridor of time. I can move down that corridor successfully because of who He is. He is my Savior and Lord, my wonderful companion. And I'm going down the corridor. And I'm going to go and I'm going to come boldly to the throne of grace that I can get all that I need. That's my relationship, family, son. And I'm able to go and have that relationship to God and look to God, come boldly to the throne of grace. And I'm going to go and I'm going to go look upward and then I'm going to go forward. How am I going to go forward? I'm going to grow. I'm going to develop. I have to develop. Everything in your life is an opportunity. In fact, we're going to do that, you know. The Chinese word would do it, is get it over with. You know the word crisis, the crisis in your life? Crisis. And the Chinese word, opportunity. Crisis and danger, I wrote it out at home, symbol. The picture, symbol, Chinese picture. And opportunity and danger equal crisis. Every crisis is an opportunity. And we're going to do that. How do I capitalize on crises? Wow. So now, and thus in verse 5, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I want you to know, I'm going to make everything new. In the meanwhile, are you discovering that you are new? Or are you still old? Are you living your old life in the old way? And you're going to go right in? What difference does it make what year it is? You're going to keep going. I always live this way. I always feel this way. I always think this way. Well, dear friend, if you know the Lord as your Savior, what did God do with all your wonderful thoughts, your terrible thoughts, your lousy thoughts? What did God do with them? He put them where? On Calvary's cross. And you try to keep them alive. And God crucified them. That's your error. And you'll never, as long as you do that, you will never enjoy His wonderful rest. You'll never have it. Not in this life. And let us labor to get it. Don't be like the prodigal son that said, I want to live in the world and get out there. That guy didn't come out good. And don't be like the believers. Well, I went to church every week. I did everything like I was supposed to. And, oh, yeah, I have to go. Do I have to open my Bible? You know. And I read a devotional every now and then. And whatever. And then I'll go when I feel like it, when I can get there. Mm-hmm. How's that? That's like the other son, isn't it? And he didn't enjoy being a son. And those believers don't enjoy being a believer. You bet your boots they don't. You would know if a person's enjoying being a believer. You bet they would. I mean, it pops out. We got a lot of problems. But we have a wonderful Savior. A whole lot of things are wrong. In our heart, in our world, in me dwelleth no good thing. In my world isn't doing well at all. It won't honor God. It won't look to God. Won't believe God. And here I am in the middle of it. And God, here's all the, it can encompass me in closing in on me. Wow. But you know what? I'm going to confess, my Lord, that I'm not going to win without you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I'm proud. I'm pleased. I'm not ashamed to honor you. Totally. To totally give you credit for all that I have and all that you put away in the cross. You do not handle my past. You have crucified my past. And you do not see me in my past. You can only see me in your Son. I wish, God would say, I wish you'd catch up and see it, so you could live like that, to be a son, to enjoy being a child of God, to really do it. And you got your job and your family and your heartaches and your headaches and you got all that stuff. I know you do. Pain, heartache, grumbling, you got them. How can you expect me to be happy in the light of my marriage, in the light of this, in the light of that? God said, I didn't expect you to be happy with anything in the world. If you had the whole world, you would have how much? Nothing at all. You see? That's why, Remember, my joy, John 15, did it? I may have it wrong. My joy I want. I give unto you. I didn't give you your joy. I gave you my joy. So that you, my joy, would be your joy. So then, what are you complaining about? Oh, I got a lot of complaints. You didn't understand then. God said, I gave you something, and you have never possessed it. Like you should. Anyway, we didn't do anything tonight. What can I tell you? Our time is gone. I'm sorry I didn't get further along. I hope you got a little bit, though. I hope you do. Otherwise, you're going to miss out. And it's no trick, no gimmick, no abracadabra. You simply are going to give God credit for being who he is. You're going to give God credit for what he has done on Calvary's cross. And you're going to rightfully fear and respect that and yield to that God. And you're always in the presence of God. And when you go home tonight and shut off the light, assuming you do, God is still there. Isn't he? We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, what do we know for nothing? So thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you'd get after our little hearts and awaken them, our God, that we would not be counted among those that are lax, dull of hearing. We don't want to be counted among those that go backwards at all. God, we want to look to you with all our heart, with all the needs and all our heartaches. God, we've done got them. But we do not, you have them, God, if we look to you, because when you died, you took them. Therefore, God, I want to enter in to that relationship that frees me from the burden by way of your wonderful forgiveness, your wonderful grace, your wonderful mercy, so that, God, we can journey in the blood, as the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, God, that gives us a unique personal relationship to you that we can exercise as children, as sons, God. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.